Welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Awesome! Before you sit down, that was close, wasn't it? Just turn to the person next to you or behind you. Let's turn to the person behind you. And just look them in the... That's it. Everybody's doing that. Everybody's going to look at Shane. Shane is awesome. Just look at someone and say, today, you are too blessed to be stressed. If they've got too many worry lines, tell them again. Today, you are too blessed to be stressed. Awesome. Great, it's great to be together. Can I have a seat? You can sit down for a minute. It's this church. Stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down. Brilliant. There's a fascinating dynamic that happens, I've noticed here. Last week, I think everybody was sat over, most people were sat over this side. This week, Antonia was the only one sat over there for ages, and then suddenly she kind of drew a crowd, which is great. It's funny, aren't we funny people? And how many of you know that we're funny people? If you're not sure, just look in the mirror. Look at the person next to you. Great. Awesome. I've had a brilliant week. How many of you have had a really great week? How many of you wish that you had a great... Okay, never mind. Free. Had a really, really great week. Doing some practical stuff, which is always helpful. Doing quite a lot of kind of just praying, listening, which is really, really helpful. But mostly, I'm just cultivating excitement. Did I explain to you what that word excitement means? Have I? We're the only one here. We're the only one that remembers. I'm going to do it again because it's important. If you can find a piece of paper, maybe your offering thing that you didn't put in the bucket, or maybe a Bible if you've got one, or maybe just anything. Just find something. Isn't too heavy. So we're not any accidents. Maybe a welcome card, and then you can fill it out. Maybe your invitation. There you go. Just hold it up like that. Not like that. Not like that. Not that. Like that. Okay. I'm careful of these two on the back because they keep making me laugh. Like that. Right. So, if you imagine that this is our lives, this thing is kind of inert. It's neither plus or minus, but it's influenced by stuff around it. So hold it like that. Robert, stop laughing. That's it, like that. When something is exciting this, what happens is an energy or a power or a dynamic or a force or a situation begins to influence it and moves it, and it becomes excited. So start doing that now. Man, you look really, really old from here. It's really funny. Do this a lot in church. It sets people free. So you've now excited it. Okay. Now, just ask a friend if you can borrow their piece of card and put two next to it, if you can. Yeah, have two now. The reason I haven't got any. Just find something else. Mate, there's a bit of paper. That's it. Now, what happens now is that when there's more than one, you've got a couple, you need to put a little bit more energy on it to excite it. Have you got that? It's just a basic physics lesson. Okay, there's about 40 of us in the room, so find 40 bits of paper. No, I'm just kidding. The point is this. This whole theme of messages, and we were kind of been sharing this a little bit 2 weeks ago. If you weren't here, we kind of rolled out things like small groups. Small groups is, as Kingdom Faith, how we excite the individual by putting loads of other people next to them. So actually, small groups have the opposite effect of what the natural does. The more people around that, the harder it is to excite it. But a lively bunch of God-loving, God-fearing, God-led people like you... Some of you may not have realized that. I have no idea. But people who just know Jesus, like I'm guessing most of you do, the great thing about small groups and about churches, the more people you have around you, the more excited you get. Okay, just check your face. So the more excited you get. Because the Bible is filled with all these kind of references where when one of you is doing something, something happens. But when two of you are doing something, it multiplies. When a group of you are doing something, it's exponential. And the wonderful thing about small groups, which is why we value them in the life of the church, is that we have opportunity to take my passion into the room with somebody else. And the more people in the room, the more excited it can get. I've got to work really hard. Okay, this is kind of a two-way thing today. I'm going to do a bit of work. You do a bit of work. So we have here in this congregation four brilliant opportunities to get excited. If you're excited about growing in your faith, growing in your understanding of the Word, being more confident in communicating the gospel, just reading your Bible a bit more easily, praying a bit more easily, then you need to get along to Raising Champions. Come on then! Because the first thing that God says He does in the Bible is He raises us from death to life. I love you. Is that God says, I have come that you might have, but not just a better kind of life than we have now. We can go clubbing a bit more and not get some whatever wasted. We can do a few bits of this and a hang. That's not the kind of life that Jesus came for. Did you know that? If you didn't know that, let's have a chat later, right? I need to talk to you about it. But Jesus actually said, I'm coming first to raise you from the dead. Because the Bible's really clear. The whole of the Old Testament, the beginning of the Bible is God wanted us to live the fullness of life. God wanted us to live in freedom. But there was no way we could do it without God's help. So the Bible says we were dead. So then suddenly Jesus appeared and it says, I came that you might have life. But the way that we live that life out is with others. So if you want to find out how to do that, how to live that, how to be the best you God wanted you to be, then why not go to Raising Champions? It's brilliant. It's on a Tuesday morning. Is that right? Have I just... Is it? Excellent. And that's going to be a great time. If you've got a real heart and a passion to really see people that just think we've lost their sense of kind of future destiny, some of their physical resources... And sometimes when people lose all of that, they lose hope because that's the last thing that they try and keep hold of. And then sometimes that just goes. But there's a massive amount of initiative in Worthing around the homeless. But God is really powerfully connected with the homeless. He puts orphans in homes. He puts the isolated in communities. He puts those who have no other future in with people who have a future. So God's really interested in home. He said, actually, I don't have a home. Home is where I put my heart and my head. But let me just tell you that where there's homeless people like that, so not only are they kind of dead because they just don't know God, but they just don't have a future either. There's just nothing that they can do. But there's a brilliant small group that just begins to breathe life on them and hope with them and excitement in them and a bit of a future with them. That there is an option, and the option is give your life to Jesus. So there's a brilliant homeless initiative where we're working with other churches in the towns. Sandra's heading it up. We've got some guys working in the shop now. In November, we're going to be hosting the whole homeless project prayer initiative here, which is brilliant. So if you want to get involved with that, have a chat with Sandra because everybody here has a home. But more importantly than that, if you know Jesus, you are at home. Because a kingdom is about not just giving an offer that there is a home over there somewhere, and if you're good enough, you can have it, is that Jesus came and said, actually, if you receive me, I'll give you a home. Not just a home now, but I'll go off and build you a home for later. I love it. Maybe if you have time on one of these Sundays, we'll talk about what your home can look like. Hallelujah. Then maybe we're just, maybe a married couple, maybe we're single people, doesn't really matter. But maybe we just want to live a bit smarter. Was it Forrest Gump said, stupid is as stupid does? Anybody seen that? The whole world's like a box of chocolates. Come on, I know you've seen it at least 100 times. Well, let me tell you that life is like a box of chocolates. But wisdom helps you win. Wisdom isn't just about being smart, it's doing the right thing. I know a lot of really stupid, clever people. They're dead in their knowledge of God, but they're alive in their knowledge of man. I've got a degree. I went on to start doing an MA. I got bored with it. But I know a lot of stuff. It didn't excite me like knowing Jesus does. In my life and in your life, you learn how to apply knowledge in a practical sense, doing the right thing by wisdom. But then suddenly when you give your life to Jesus, you become smarter than you should. So there's another small group that is called Wisdom Wins. Why? Because when we receive the kingdom of God, when we receive Jesus, the first thing that God does, not only does he move us from being dead to alive, but he moves us from being the ones that always come last to the ones that can always come first. He moves us from being people who are always at the back of the pile to being those that are at the top of the pile. But then we need to learn how to be wise and how do I live as a smart person. In my experience, the smartest people I know say little but do a lot. Why? Because the Bible says wisdom is proven right not by its words but by its actions. So we have a small group there this phase in the autumn that's called Wisdom Wins. And it's based around a friend of mine called Stephen Matthews, who was part of the eldership of what was then called Abundant Life Church in Bradford. He now is more itinerant. He helps us in all kinds of areas. Why? Because he's very smart. But he isn't just intellectually smart or educationally smart. He is. But he just knows what to do. A bit like you. That's why in the Old Testament, there's a book in the Bible called the Book of Proverbs. And I have a bit of a view on this because a guy called Solomon was asked by God, okay, what do you want? And God says, Solomon said, I just want wisdom. How many of you know that's a good thing to do? Yeah, Solomon wasn't so smart though when he had 1,400 wives and concubines. I'm not quite sure how smart that was. All the men are going like that. All the women are going, woohoo, I have no idea. All I know is that Solomon only had one book written about him, but David had a lot. David just had one love. Anyway. So there's a whole small group about wisdom. And then lastly, this one, I really love this one because I love the excitement that it generates. I love the products that it generates. But there's a whole group about hospitality. Being hospitable, not hospitalized, but being hospitable is part of our environment. It's part of what you're doing, what I'm doing every single day of our lives when we are excited about other people coming into our homes. If we're a bit dead, we couldn't care less, or our home is our castle, or our home we're too embarrassed by it, or whatever, but there's kind of a bit of a, there's no activity around it. God wants to excite us. And how we're going to do that is we Sharon and a few others are going to be getting recipes together, doing some stuff in the Word about what does a hospitable person look like? How do they live? How do they look out? How do they learn? How do they appropriate their learned skills so that other people can benefit? This afternoon, I encourage everybody to come to 71 George V Avenue, because there is loads of room. And we're going to all give Louisa the bumps. And I'm going to need all of you to do that many, because there's a few, right? There's a lot. 26, okay? Colin wants to throw up. You're all heart, you are, mate. I tell you what. But this small group called Hospitality, it's not about just, let's watch Great British Bake Off. You like that, right? Okay. It's not about doing that. It's about, I want to get excited about using my gifts, my skills, my passion, so that somebody else can benefit from it in a practical way. That's what it's about. So, for example, we're going to have a celebration today on the 25th of October. If you're here for the first time, man, this is going to be good news for you. On Sunday the 25th of October, we're going to have over 100 people in this room. And we're going to be baptizing people. We want to be hospitable to them. We want to make sure the pool is really cold and the water's really deep, Sandra. We want to make sure that we hold them under until the bubbles stop coming. All of that kind of stuff. But we want to be really hospitable. So we're making up some special invitations. They'll be here next week. Not just so that we can get people to come to a theatre, because hospitality is about getting people into our world, into our environment. So there's a great small group around hospitality. So there's the four. There's a few other kind of pending, emerging things. There's a couple of guys that have got a real heart to begin to do some kind of street witnessing and personal witnessing out in the middle of the town. So we're kind of going to develop that a little bit. There's some other guys that they just want to do stuff for people who maybe don't have any faith at all. Maybe they just believe in all kinds of faith. There's loads out there. You can take your pick. So there's a few people that are working on that. But the point is this, is that if we're going to live a kingdom life, you've got to be around others to help excite them and be excited by them. Have you got that? Why am I the only one holding up? Oh, you are holding up your card too. You are brilliant. So I can encourage you about small groups. There's probably enough time straight after service to have a little flick through here with a bit more detail. But we have some sign-up sheets just behind the lovely Shelley. Shelley, give us a wave. Shelley's married to Dave. Dave is a Spurs fan, so Shelley puts up with a lot. Bless. It's great to have those guys around with us. Is that okay? Are you still with me? I was looking at the clock, but someone's moved it. The last couple of things I just wanted to share about before we kind of get into the main content is as part of our excitement. I'm always excited about Sundays. Are you? Come on, don't lie now. I'm excited about Sundays tomorrow. It's really odd. What I do when I get home tonight is I just have a pray, just have a bit of time of thanking you, Jesus, for what you've done, the people that have come in, how you're working in their lives, how you're working in our lives, how you're working in the town. I just do that, all right? Maybe it's because I'm odd. I have no idea. But I just do that. Why? Because God says, make me the first and the last. So I always do that as last. I do it last. So I go through all the things that I didn't like, all the things that didn't work, and I give those to God. And at the end, I'm always giving thanks because that's the last thing I do. And I'll give thanks to Shane. Bless him. He shoehorned himself out of bed early this morning so he could come and set the PA up. Bless him. For Laura, who's just been doing that job every week, like since Noah was up there. It's amazing. I just love the excitement that there is around Sundays. However, I want to get a lot more people excited about Sundays. So I can stand and I can give it big rah and we can turn everything up on the desk to 11. You need to see a certain film to get that. Have you seen it? Yeah. But you just know what I mean, right? Just turn everything up to 11. Or we can just say, right, on Sundays, what we'd love everybody here to do, and some of you already do this, is let's be part of something that makes Sundays happen. Because it's exciting. So I stay excited for about 6.5 days, and then suddenly on the last half day, I'm back here again. It's true, isn't it? It's like, all I'm praying is about, God, I can't wait for Sunday, can't wait for small group. Man, it's awesome, God's doing stuff. I love it. I even get on with him all the time now. It's amazing. I mean, he's from up north and speaks a different language and everything. I just love Sundays. Why? Because for me, it's when everybody comes together to get a bit more excited about Jesus, a bit more excited about the kingdom of God, and a bit more excited with somebody else. Because when you excite something with a bit of numbers, it becomes a momentum. See, Jesus came to move us from death to life, but then Jesus fed, invested, trained, encouraged, spent time with his Sunday team. They were called the disciples, if you like. He spent time with his setup team. He spent time with his PA team. He spent time with his hospitality team. He spent time with his visual team. He spent time with his worship team. What were they called? His disciples. And just being around Jesus excited them. Hallelujah. So not today, but I'm chucking the thought out today. But next Sunday, we're going to have an opportunity somewhere. I have no idea where it will be. But if you just want to get, if you're not already involved in just making something on Sunday happen, I know most of you are, so that's brilliant. We want you to be part of that. Why? Because what I've found is that, man, when I get excited about Sundays, I get excited about Mondays a bit more, Tuesdays a bit more, Wednesdays, yeah, I can cope with Wednesdays. Thursdays, it's right, yeah, come on, it's almost Sunday. You never had a Friday afternoon feeling. Because for me, Friday is, I'm praying about Sunday now. I'm meeting with Jesus for Sunday. Do you know what I'm saying? So we want to give people the opportunity to be part of what we call build the house. Particularly if you have experience or want to get experience with working with our J24/7 guys, that's 0 to 11. I've already spoken to a couple of people, so now is your opportunity to put your name on the dotted line. Or if you want to get involved with the production side of it, which is things like lights, PA, sound, music, all kinds of stuff, that's really where we don't have a need, but it seems to be where there's a lot of fun and excitement goes on. Look how happy Shane is this morning. He's up there smiling. Thanks, mate. He's up there. No, do it. He's up there smiling. He's happy. Look at Laura. She's kind of come alive. Had a conversation with Laura at Discover One, wasn't it? And Laura was sharing with me just how valued she feels. And I said, what's all that about? She says, it's just about being part of something. Being able to contribute towards the outcome of something. Being able to make something happen. I think that's brilliant. How many of you are already part of Sunday teams? I know a lot of you are. Just put your hands up. Have a chat with them. They're the happiest people in the room. Well, Sue, everybody turn around and look at Sue. This, you'll hate this. But Sue, bless her heart. You know, she's only given her life to Jesus about 2 months ago. You know, that's been... not just that and this, but now it's a bit of this, all right? And that's not a bike, electric bike going up the south. It's got nothing to do with that. It's from this to this, but just being part of team. Just coming along. She's here even before me sometimes. What can I do? That's excitement. I believe Jesus came for some particular reasons. We're just going to cover those briefly today and Laura's going to put some stuff up behind me. As I mentioned very briefly last week, Jesus came with this tremendous offer. For hundreds of years, you've heard that God has an offer, but you can never meet the offering. Jesus reminded people that for centuries, God has wanted you and me to live in freedom, to live in a state of victory, to live in a state of intimacy with God, but we can never get there on our own. Thank God that God had a plan. He wanted us to have a life in relationship, as I mentioned, with the one who is the beginning and the one who is the end. So he sent Jesus to come and show, speak, live, talk, walk. What does that look like? What does it look like to live with God? Some of us have difficulties living with our spouses. But God designed this period of time so that Jesus would enter right into time and space. And so I'm going to show you that it's possible to live with a relationship with God. But it looks like this. It looks like this. So I'm having to use this because my technology has gone back to apple.com. It's an Apple crumble. So Jesus wanted to come to take us out of a life which is like this, which is live like that, which is constantly live beyond our own capacity. Kingdom of God is immeasurable. You can't put a tape measure around it. You can't find it on a map. You can't find it on an atlas. It's too huge. And God is saying, I'm going to give you this kingdom. I'm not going to give you this kingdom, you know, when you're 70 years old and you fall off the twig. I'm going to give you this kingdom when you receive the king. I'm going to give you this kingdom and you can live in this kingdom now. How do we want to do that? Just Pete. Excellent, mate. I'm glad you came down. So we find this incredible scripture where Jesus says this in Mark chapter 1. The very first message that Jesus spoke, was it a preach? I don't know, it's only a few words. He says this: the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. It's good news. I love good news, don't you? Interesting that Jesus' first message was around position. The kingdom is near. I like that. What that reinforces to you and to me is that I can touch it, I can experience it, I can live in it right now. He didn't say, oh, the kingdom is coming one day, or it'll be whenever, or, you know, when there's enough blood moons, if you're into that, which I'm not. Or if there is enough phases of tide or dominions. He said, no, the kingdom is near. And I'm going to offer you this kingdom. It says it's at hand. Just find your hand. How far away from your hand is you? Your arm. Sorry, that's too complicated for some of you. Here's the thought. It says in Colossians that Jesus disarmed the devil. That means that hand is close to them. Some of you, that's just gone way over your head. Try standing up to leave. You can do more than the devil can because he's been defeated. So I don't get any better. That was it. What? The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The good news is not reading your tithing envelope. It's not reading your invitation. Jesus is saying, the kingdom is right here with me. Just read me. Read my life. Read my lips. Read my actions. Read my lifestyle. I'm going to live it, love it, talk it, show it. Read me. But you can't have me and the old. Which is why this word repent comes in. I don't know whether we overuse it or underuse it. I really have no idea on that. All I know is what it means. It means a change of mind. I'm just going to stop thinking like that. It means a change of heart. I'm just going to stop believing like that. It means a change of actions. I'm going to stop doing those things, which causes a change of direction. I'm not going to go that way. I'm going to go Yahweh. You see what I did then? So Jesus said, there's a kingdom. I am the good news. I'm the exciter. I'm the agitator. I'm the life giver. I'm the victory bringer. I'm the triumph establisher. But you can't live it walking that way. You've got to walk with me. You've got to walk with me. Which is why the very next thing that Jesus goes on to say is this: come and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. So Jesus is the offer, but he also is the offering. We mentioned this very briefly last week. I just wanted to dig down a little bit today. And he goes on and says this in John 1, verse 11 to 13. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, say yet. Now, that's not some big white animal that lives up in the Arctic somewhere. That's a yeti, right? This is yet. Yet. Conditionally. Possibly. It says yet. To all. Say all. Can you think of anybody in this room that that does not apply to? I can. People that are not sitting next to you. How can I hear it if they're not here? Which is why we have invitation cards. I'll move on. It says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right. Who gave the right? Who did he give it to? Who did he give the right to? I'll make it easier. Us is plural. Me is me. Children born not of a natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So we find this process. Jesus says, here's the kingdom. It's really close. It's me. I'm the news of the kingdom. You have to walk with me to live in it. To walk with me, you have to stop going where you want to go and start putting your faith and trust in me. And when you do that, the first access, activity of receiving the kingdom of God is that you stop living as a dead son to the world and start living as a live son to God. We stop living just as people who go through the motions of life but result in not very much. Into coming alive to the things of God. You see, we can't receive this kingdom unless we give our lives to the King. I'm just going to kind of finish this message with this. What does this kingdom look like? What is this lifestyle that God wants me to live? You can go to Matthew 10, Laura, okay? Looks a bit like this. Jesus said this to his followers, his disciples, his build a house team, his connect team, his hospitality team, his worship team, his offering gathering team. This was his team. He said this to them, and Jesus is saying exactly the same to us. He says, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick. In other words, Jesus started his message, the kingdom of heaven is where? Then he's sending out his Sunday team and he's saying to them, tell everybody the kingdom is near. But wait a minute, Jesus didn't go with them. Yes, he did, because they were walking in his ways. Have you got that? Of course you've got that, because you're smart people. You come from Worthing and the surrounding area. They're bright people down here. Even brighter than in Crawley, if I understand. It's okay. You're welcome. So Jesus said this. Preach this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. It's a great message. But he didn't then say, tell them the good news. He showed us what the good news is. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy or skin diseases or complaints or infirmities. Drive out demons, because freely you have received, freely give. I like that, don't you? Yeah, trouble is we like it so much that we don't do it. So in conclusion, the very message that God sent via Jesus, who was the good news, is I have a kingdom to offer you. But there's no way that you can accept this offer as you are. So I'm going to make it acceptable by giving an offering myself. But this kingdom that I'm offering you is powerful. It's life-changing. It's victorious. It's freeing. It changes every life that comes into context with it. It excites everybody that's dead or just needs a little bit of help. What does it look like? You raise the dead. You heal the sick. You heal all those that are oppressed. You heal everybody of their disease suddenly. That's the kingdom, isn't it? In these weeks to come, we're going to be talking about what does it mean to advance, or what does it mean just to dance? We're going to be looking at some principles. I'll show you one principle. If you can, in this last couple of minutes, if you can, just put your hand on the chair in front of you. A little bit of pressure. You're such an obedient lot of people. I love you. You just like holding hands. Stop it. Put a little bit of pressure on it, but just as I'm drawing this to a close, just put your hands up and down like that. Just rub it up and down, okay? Just do that for a minute, because you'll find an incredible law. Now put a bit of pressure on it and rub it hard. Rub it. You'll find that an incredible law becomes to operate. Do you know what it's called? It's called the law of friction, right? Without the law of friction, we would all be on the beach in Shoreham by now, right? We wouldn't be here. If some of you, you can stop now because you look really silly. If any of you have still got, Vanessa, you and me, mate, if you've still got a bit of paper, just drop it. There's another law at work. What's that law? Right. So there are natural laws at work, but there are kingdom laws which are greater. There are laws that affect and influence everybody. But when you're dead, you can never win. Which is why the very first thing we need to do to enter the kingdom is give our life to Jesus. But there are kingdom laws that work in the kingdom which are irrefutable. Sowing, reaping, for example. And we're going to talk about those over the next few weeks. Is that all right? Let's all stand up, shall we? So just to kind of bring this to conclusion, yes, this is a plug, not for small groups, but for getting excited about being with others. We are greater than the sum of our parts. All right? So there's a whole thing about there. It's like, whether you're here for the first time, 10th time, 100th time, just come and be part of who we are, because together we want to excite society. I don't even care whether you go to a small group, you don't even know God yet. He knows you. Just give him some time and you'll get to know him. It's fine. I want to excite people about being part of what makes Sundays happen. Why? Because there's freedom in that. There's giving in that. There's joy in that. You'll have an opportunity to respond to that next week. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. It does all go dark, but it's all right. Father, I want to thank you so much that you said that the kingdom is near. You position yourself so that we can touch you, hear you, respond to you. I thank you that you'll say, repent, change your mind, change your heart, change your action, change what you do, because I want you to follow me instead. So Father, help us to do that more and more in these days. In whatever the world is that you've put us into, we want to follow you really closely. Really closely. We want to follow your example, follow your word. We want to follow your Holy Spirit. We want to follow others that are following you. Because we know that when we do that, life is changed. Communities are affected and impacted. Sick people are healed. Dead people are raised. Those that are bound are set free. Those that have been oppressed find comfort. Those who have no hope find a hope. Those that have no future are given a future. Those that have just a world identity are given a God identity. I thank you that that's what you have on offer for all of us today and all of us from today. I thank you it's true for any age. Woohoo! So Father, we thank you, we praise you, we give you all the glory. And if anybody in the room believes any of that, you can just shout amen as loud as you like. Amen. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.